Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. I'm kind of really excited about today's episode because I don't really know exactly what today's episode is going to be about. So Stephanie's taking the reins. She's got four or five topics that she wants to talk about today, a little bit of a smorgasbord. And I'm kind of excited because I like to be a bit spontaneous. So Stephanie, what's on the menu today? What are you going to talk about?
Just my random thoughts.
Random thoughts.
I have many random thoughts over the course of a month, say seeing things in our Facebook group, seeing things out there in media, right, in the newspaper, online. And I always make these little lists of things in my iPhone. Like, I love the Lists app. I do a lot in the Lists app to keep my brain, going, because it's hard after a certain age, I think, to remember things that you're thinking of. So I use the Lists app, and I've just always collected all these random things that never end up getting into any blog post or podcast or whatever. So a little while back, I told you, I'll just do a random thoughts episode every once in a while. And I did my first one.
You committed to once a month, I think.
Yeah, well, apparently I haven't made it into your programming. Once a month.
You can take the microphone anytime you want.
Yeah, I mean,
You're hard to pin down. You're busy.
So I have random thoughts.
This girl is still out in the Jayco Eagle using the Eagle as her office, and it's almost August, and it is really hot.
No, I wasn't out there this past week hardly at all because it was in the 90s. And if it's in the 80s, I'm fine in there. If it's in the 90s, I can't.
Well, we both just realized the other day, we just got to run the generator.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it'll bother the neighbors that much.
To at least cool it off, because I think that sometimes – I think I could even, run the generator, get it cool, and if everything were closed up, it would keep for a little while. But when it's in the 90s, it's a hot box.
I have to admit, I keep thinking that even though we've had trips canceled and our number of nights camping is because of the pandemic has definitely gone down this year, we've used the RV more than any other year we've owned an RV.
Yeah, I'm really, really glad we had. Well, it's a whole trend. If you look in the news, this isn't on my list of things. But if you look in the news, there was a whole trend about people actually buying RVs to use as home offices over the course of the spring.
Because people just need to get out of the house and get some work
done. Well, yeah, it's not that far off in price, right? A lot of people were doing the inhabitable sheds also. And I just read an article about those. And people were basically spending about $30,000 all in on an inhabitable shed. Which is I say inhabitable because that's the name of a shed that would also have
AC.
Exactly. Would be able to have water, whatever. So people were spending about $30,000, and that was labor costs, everything. And I was that's the cost of maybe an RV. And you think about
it, really,
you can then kind of have double duty, right? Because you have the office. It really is a comfortable office. And then you can have the ability to then do something else with it also. So it's not a bad deal, really.
For somebody that has this very loose idea of buying an RV but thinks, well, maybe I won't use it that much. I'm working a lot. I only have a week's vacation here or there. To buy it as an office and then just use it once a year for a vacation, that's a good value to me.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if you buy one with that in mind, you might make some different choices. Right. And that's okay. Yeah, exactly. You're really thinking about it that way. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, the more you can get an RV to suit, I've always said this, right? There's no perfect, what do people look for their dream home, right? Their forever home. I always say there's no forever RV. It's so silly for people to try to shop for their forever RV. You need an RV that suits your life right now. In the best way possible.
I know that this has been a bone of contention of ours over the years, but I have to say on that point, for the last week or 2 weeks, I keep thinking that we're entering a stage of our lives where the boys are doing a lot of baseball tournaments in the summer, and I'm not going to tow my towable RV to the parking lot of these places where they're playing baseball. I would drive a 32-foot Class A and park out for the day there and then have that for lunch and the bathroom and all that stuff.
I agree with you on that. I just told you, you should have thought of that before you got an F-250 and an Eagle. So you've kind of...
We'll take this
conversation
off. There's
a phrase for that, but...
So listen, Stephanie has a bunch of cool topics to talk through, but before we dive in, we have a sponsored message from our friends at RV SnapPad. Meet the world's only permanent jack pad. RV SnapPads attach permanently to your RV leveling jack so you don't have to carry around blocks of wood or plastic blocks to level your RV or motorhome. Simply snap them on one time and you are all set. And I've said it before, I absolutely love RV SnapPads because they are that rare piece of gear that actually eliminates a step in the process of setting up camp. So many pieces of gear and gadgets that we buy actually add work and add complication to the RV experience. RV SnapPads actually reduce the amount of work to the setup experience. I used to carry around 4 jack pads in my front storage bin, and each time I'd pull into the campground, I'd have to dig them out and find them and walk around and set them up and get them perfect. And it took a lot of time, and it was a bit of a nuisance. So I'm really thankful that I have the RV SnapPads now, and I don't have to do that. They also help stabilize the rig because they create a larger and sturdier footprint beneath the leveling jacks. And once they're snapped on, I never have to worry about them again. To find out more, visit rvsnappad.com. And they are actually on their website completely sold out right now. If you want to get them, keep checking back. All kinds of disturbances in supply chains right now for a lot of RV companies. They will be back in stock soon. Follow them on social media, check them out on their website, and you're going to want to eventually get RV snap pads. What's our first topic?
All right. So I figure this is the perfect time to talk about something that I'm wearing, right? I know I don't do enough gear, like in terms of clothing, accessory recommendations. We get a lot of messages about things that I have that I just don't take the time to like. I'm not very good at products. I just never have been.
You're sort of anti-gear guy lately. You always hedge a little. Like, and Stephanie, I respect this about you. You don't want to constantly be telling people stuff to buy.
No.
And so there's this fine line in how we do gear
guides.
I
appreciate two things. I never want somebody to feel like I'm always telling them ways to spend their money. And then I also know that people love it when we share ways to spend their money. So it's really a hard balance to strike. They do.
Yeah.
But I'm a little bit of a minimalist with my personal purchases. So it's a difficult thing for me with what we do. So anyway, I just thought I did make a purchase that I'm absolutely loving this year. I decided back in the spring to purchase a pair of Rothy's. Now you might be familiar with the brand. You might have heard it. So it's kind of a eco-friendly brand. It's, I think, socially friendly brand. I really like the brand stances and promises, and they're not cheap, right? That's the whole point, is when you buy products that are sustainably made and that they're paying a fair living wage to people who create them, you are going to pay more, right? That's part and parcel. But the hope is that you also get a really high quality product, right? Like then you're also in turn getting something that's not going to wind up in the trash can at the end of a season.
In a bizarre way, lately when I buy things, I'm actually starting to think, will I be able to give this to one of my kids? And that sounds crazy, but that's how I think now.
Oh my gosh, poor kids who have to take the stuff that their parents save for them.
No, stop. I mean, like, if one day, you know,
it's like your grandfather.
If Max and Theo get their
here's a drill.
If my grandfather used to just basically like dump stuff off on our lawn, he didn't want.
All right, go ahead.
No, I'm saying like. If I buy a Weber grill and spend good money on a Weber grill, and Max and Theo have their first apartment, I'll give them that Weber grill, and that's when I'll upgrade. So I am thinking about the longevity of certain things that we buy.
So anyway, I got the Rothy slip-on sneakers in gray camo, and these were to replace a pair of actually, they were the same kind of slip-ons that I think are necessary when you are an RV traveler. I've actually had a pair of this type of shoe for years. And this pair of Crocs that I had had, they look like boat shoes. And they had been so amazing for me for years and years. I mean, they looked terrible. I had forgotten them, I think, when we went to Florida this past winter. And I asked you to pack them for me because I was coming in. Do you remember that? You sent me a picture of them making fun of me for how they looked.
I did.
You were like, I forget what you said, but you were like, are you serious, lady? Like, you actually own a pair of shoes that look like this because they were so beaten up. But that's how I am. I love certain things that are so functional. So I had really beat these Crocs that were like these boat shoe slip-ons into the ground. And I said, okay, it's really time for me to get a replacement pair, but I want to get the best quality possible that'll last another few years. So I ended up saying, I'm going to try these Rothy's. And I am going to tell you, not only were they comfortable from day one, there's no breaking in. And these are the type of shoes that you can actually wear for a full day of exploring when you're traveling. If you're walking around a city, if you're walking, you know, even like not obviously like hiking, but you know, the kind of days where you're just walking a lot. And they are so comfortable for an entire day of 15,000 steps when you're going around. And they don't look like a pair of hiking shoes, or they don't look like a pair of running sneakers. They're stylish and they can go with a pair of shorts or a skirt even, you know, because they have that look to them. So they're comfortable right out of the bat. And then they swear that, you know, they can get wet and just dry out. Well, we were in Lake Placid and I decided to use them as water shoes because we were actually crossing the river every day and the rocks are really hard and slippery and they can hurt your feet. So I was like, you know what? I'm just wearing my Rothy's. These things dried out so well with no, like, you know how shoes can get icky?
Soggy and like gross. Yeah.
They were so comfortable, fully submerged as water shoes for day after day. You take out the bottoms, dry out the bottoms separate from, you can even throw them in the washing machine and wash them. These things look the same as they did before I wore them every day in the river while we were in Lake Placid. I love them.
Three questions. Do okay. they make them for men?
Yeah.
Do you buy them direct from the company or you get them?
Rothys.com, yeah. Okay. I'm sure they're available. I don't know if they're available. I just went to Rothy's because I wanted, I knew what I wanted. I had my eye on Rothy's for a while.
And what's like a price range?
$125. So this is a real shoe. You know, like this is instead of buying a Teva maybe, or right, like this is the kind of shoe
or
that you
Keens.
Buy or Keens. This is in that kind of a price range, 100%, yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. So we're going to come back in a second. Stephanie's got some more interesting topics in today's smorgasbord of Stephanie topics. But before we dive into the next one, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you're an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping or even glamping sometimes, depending on the Jellystone, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities. From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds. And with over 75 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home. Now's the time to plan for fall. I mean, there are so many new campers out there, so many new RV owners. If you want to do a weekend trip this fall, you need to head to jellystoneparks.com and find a Jellystone Park near you, because these weekends are selling out, particularly the really popular Halloween weekends. So just remember, it's not just a campground. It's a Jellystone Park, and visit jellystoneparks.com to find a Jellystone Park near you.
All right. So the next thing that I want to talk about besides what I'm wearing is what I'm making when it's hot and I'm feeling lazy. So another post jogged my memory on this. Somebody asked, I think, like what they could do with a pork tenderloin or whatever it was, some random post. And I thought, it's probably been a long time. Some of the things that I used all the time when the boys were so little, right? And I was honestly just trying to make it through and finding all those fast tricks. Some of those things we don't talk about anymore as much that we're in a different stage of life. But I always like to think back to those people, right? That are traveling with little kids and looking for easy things to do. And I had remember that it'd probably been a long time since I mentioned one of my go-to easy dinners at the campground, which is Instapot or Crock-Pot pulled pork. And I learned this early on. This is not like, this is like, you can't even call it a recipe, right? And it's so good and so easy. So if you travel with a crock pot or an Instapot, which I highly recommend, everybody's like, that's not camping. Don't talk to me about that. And we'll get
your
to
RV's
that.
Your RV's got a kitchen. Use it.
If you are exploring all day, if you're, I always remember in Acadia, I think that was the first time I brought my crock pot when we were camping years ago. And we would go out and we'd be hiking all day and downtown and doing all these things and kayaking. And I had the crock pot on and we would just come home and eat dinner. And it was the best. I remember I used to make like macaroni and cheese in the crock pot for the boys at that time because I knew they would just eat it and then go to bed. So I love traveling with one of those all the time. And this is like not even a recipe. All you have to do is slice up one onion, put a bottle of barbecue sauce of your favorite barbecue sauce in, and then a pork butt or a tenderloin, right? Depending, look, a tenderloin is not going to be the best pulled pork. Again, purists out there, do not at me, okay? I get it. I know what you say, but I am always about just getting the job done.
And, well, and I think 99 out of 100% of people agree with you.
Yeah,
and
a pork tenderloin will make a fine pulled pork that everybody will enjoy, and it will be just yummy because you're tired from a whole day of, you know, having fun. So put that all into, if you're using a crock pot, you can just put it on low all day. If you're using an Instapot, you know, you're going to want to look at your own. I know that there's a lot of different types, so you're going to want to look at your own time frames. But like for me, I would probably do like 15 minutes, right? And always let it self-release, because otherwise you're going to toughen up your meat if you don't let it self-release in an Instant Pot. And then what I would do is just get one of those bags of like coleslaw mix from the store, the bag. And just mix that real quick with a simple little mayo, vinegar, you know, lemon juice kind of a thing for a quick coleslaw. And put that on rolls. And it was just the easiest campground meal on those 90-something degree days. You don't want to fire up the grill. Like, I always like having that in my back pocket.
And I like a nice, like, sturdy, solid Kaiser roll for something like that. And I'm also picturing, you know, if you're traveling, maybe finding a bakery in the area and getting something good to kind of up it a little bit with some bakery bread. Loved it when you make that, and I hope you make it again soon. We've got some more topics from Stephanie today, but before we dive into the next one, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco. There are a few lessons that RVers learn quickly. Things aren't always easy. There's always some work to be done and a helping hand to be shared. A little dirt never hurt, and the forecast doesn't always cooperate. But the most important thing that RVers ever learn is that a bit of resilience goes a long way. Let's lead the charge back together. RVers were built for this. Jayco was built for this. To find out more, visit jayco.com/builtforthis for comeback-related news and advice.
All right.
What's next?
So I talked about what I'm wearing, what I'm cooking, and now what I'm annoyed about is up next.
we have this whole ethos of no cranks allowed in our RV Atlas Facebook group.
No, I'm feeling cranky, and it's funny that you just mentioned that, because this is what I'm feeling cranky about. I'm annoyed at the camping police, and they are out in full force.
You always have been, yeah.
They're out in full force right now because there's all these newbies, right? And there's nothing the camping police hate more than a bunch of newbies who don't know what they're talking about, and they're going to set them straight,
because
right?
Only I have the right to go RVing.
So we have this Facebook group that's built on this ethos of like no cranks and friendliness, and I am in one other Facebook group in the entire Facebook universe that actually operates the same way. There's one other Facebook group out there.
I don't think you've ever told me about this.
And it is like ours. People can post the funniest things and get like 100 positive comments, 1,000 positive comments. Okay. And it is the Aldi Facebook group. Okay.
That is too fun. So the Aldi group is like friendly and no cranks
allowed.
It
is like people will post, I'm not even kidding, and this is going to sound judgy, but like this is the stuff the Karens come out about, right? Like people will post, like put like a paper plate with like a hot dog and beans, right? Like, and be like, look what I made for my family tonight. And in any other Facebook group, right?
Oh,
like, it would be like,
attacked.
You're making your kids, you know. And you could just picture the comments. In Aldi, somebody will have like 5,000 loves and like all these comments about how that's their favorite Aldi meal. Like, it is hysterical. It is such a positive group.
Is
it
there
really
a Trader
is.
Joe's Facebook group?
I don't know. I'm not in
okay,
a Trader.
Okay.
But this is like really honestly a lovely group most of the time, okay?
As is ours.
Yeah. And so anyway, could not believe the post that brought out the cranks in the Aldi group. Are you ready for this? A woman writes, "Going gulp camping. We are going camping since we can control our environment a little better than staying at a hotel or beach house. What are your favorite go-to camping foods? We got a deluxe cabin, so it has a small kitchen. We bring everything, including pots, pans, and dishes. This will be my first time camping. I'm excited. I'm normally a beach resort kind of person, but looking forward to trying something new."
And this is a great place to ask that question in the Aldi group, right?
Yeah.
Because you want simple foods to bring.
Do you know what everybody did?
They attacked her for going camping in a cabin.
I'm just guessing. Yeah, she's not camping.
Oh, that's not really camping.
Oh, my God. The cranks
came out. All those rugged Aldi campers.
If you have a cabin with a kitchen, you can make anything you make at home. Camping is roughing it and cooking over a fire. That's vacationing in a cabin, not camping. I mean, and then, of course, you had the other people in the group that were like, "Hey guys, can you stop being mean to the lady? She's going
camping." Some food tips.
I actually commented. I'm not a big Facebook commenter. I actually commented. I said to her, "Have such a great time. Ignore the camping police. Here's a link." And I never do this, but I honestly wanted to give her support. I gave a link to our Aldi
episode. You're not in the Aldi group to
never promote our stuff in any other group, but I honestly felt like I wanted to give her some love. And I was like, "Here's a post about our favorite camping stuff with Aldi." And she was like, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much."
Well, that's the sad thing about like social media and some of these Facebook groups. It's a really sad thing. Somebody's all excited. This woman is like, "Oh my God,
like,
I've been
camping."
She's probably been in quarantine for 3 months somewhere. She's booked this cabin. She's like, "Oh my God, I can take a vacation with my family this summer, even though there's coronavirus." And then everyone's got to go attack her and make her feel bad about it.
If you do that, I'm using my podcast and platform to tell you to cut it out. Like, don't do that to people. Give them support. Give everybody a nice little round of applause and say, "Have fun." Oh my gosh. The fact that the camping police were what brought Aldi into the crank zone, it just killed me. It just cracked me up. I couldn't even believe it. And I had to bring it up.
Our group is great with this stuff.
Oh, but there's a post today. I'm going to go back and see what happened later on. In our Facebook group, there's a post about a movie projector.
Okay. Usually people behave in our
group. We'll see. I'll go back in and I'll see if anybody couldn't have handled themselves and said, "Camping, you don't watch TV while you're camping. You don't watch. Turn off the projector and look at the stars." We'll see.
My response to that, I have a very simple response to that because, you know, depending on where we are and what we're doing, we'll absolutely have a movie night in the RV with the kids. And what I say to people is, like, we probably hiked 10 miles today.
But do you see this? They've still gotten under your skin because you're justifying it. I hate it when you say, "Oh, if it's rainy, we'll have it." And I'm like, no. See, you're trying to appease the camping police. You're like, your virtue signaling.
They're powerful.
You're saying "Oh, okay, we do sometimes watch TV and watch a movie, but it's only because we're really outdoorsy."
You're right.
You can do whatever you want.
You're right. And
leave it be, folks. Just leave it be. Everybody do that.
Do you know what?
That's what I'm here for.
And we've talked about this before. I think that in the world of RV owners, a lot of the people in the camping police contingent are the state park only campers, the people that really scoff.
They don't like it that people go camping in places resort amenities. That's not camping.
And they call it a parking lot. Oh, you're just parking lot camping.
Hey, everybody knows, so I'm over at Togo RV and we launched this new newsletter that I kind of developed and we're working on like the content and playing around with it. So I'm doing these like polls every week, like a poll or a question of the week, and we alternate. And I'm just like asking stuff that I think is fun to hear people's responses on. So the poll that I put in a couple weeks ago was like, "Do you think, you know, the outdoor TVs on RVs, right? Like, is it like I can't live without it?" Right. So I put out there, "I can't live without it," or like, "It's bad etiquette," right? So we had those two options in the poll, A and B, right? Guess what the split was?
Oh my God. Was it really close? Like
49 to 51. And I don't even remember to which side. It was 49 to 51. And it was like, "Look at this. This is really like an even split. Like, half of the people think it's bad etiquette to have an outdoor TV. Half of the people are like, I'm living my best life and watching a football game on a Sunday at the campground. So it's really interesting.
It's context, too. I mean, if you pull into a place that's really quiet and everyone's enjoying quiet campfires, you might not want to blast X-Men 4, you know?
I know.
I mean, if you pull into a place where, like, everybody's got their lights on and they're playing, if you pull into Massey's Landing, no one's even going to notice you got a movie playing, right? It's context.
We're off topic right now, but that's what these episodes are going
to
be like.
Take us to your neck. Take
just
us
random thoughts.
Well, Stephanie doesn't like the camping place, and neither do I.
Yeah, yeah. So stay out of my nice Aldi Facebook group.
Well, I have a lot of concern. Our Facebook group, the RV Atlas group, is approaching 10,000 members.
There's like a million people in the queue that you haven't sorted
through.
There's
240 people waiting to get into the group.
Just are ignoring
And as much
them.
As I'm welcoming to... Well, here's my
you
concern.
You should ask somebody to help you.
Here's my concern is that we have such a nice tone in the group. And I worry that as the group gets bigger, it loses that tone. And the only reason it'll lose that tone is if I don't police the group enough. So I need to police the camping police.
I know.
That's who I am right now.
I know.
That being said, please join our Facebook group.
You might not get in.
It might take me a while to get you.
You should ask for help. All
to
right.
get you in there. Help!
Help. All right. So I had a couple other things, right? That's what I'm annoyed about, but what I'm reading. So just this week, I follow Modern Miss Darcy, right? And I get her emails, which I love always. Of course, if you sign up for the list, of course, you get her summer reading guide, which is like a big deal. It's been around for years. We all love it if you're a reader. So just this week, she... released a blog post, and it was 14 books about nature to inspire your next outdoor adventure. And I was like, ooh, and I saw the email come in and I scrolled through, and there was a lot of unique picks, right? Like, there were some of the ones that you would like, I was wondering if it would be all the typicals,
like,
but you know,
Bill
she always
Bryce
delivers.
And a walk in the woods kind
yeah,
of thing.
And she did have, I think that was like the first one on
so
the list,
it's a great
right?
Pop.
A Walk in the Woods. And H is for Hawk, which is another famous one in like sort of the outdoor writing space. But there was a lot of ones that honestly I'd never heard of before. And then somebody actually posted in our Facebook group about it that same day. And I was like, we do have so many readers.
That was Shazam.
Yeah, we have so many readers in our community.
Well, I was thrilled. She recommended The Wild Trees about the redwood trees. That is one of my top 10 favorite books of all time.
And it's funny because I know that was true with you. You were talking about it while we were there,
I was reading it
while we were there, and then I never did read it after we left.
Oh,
and
it's
I think
so
like
good.
I usually do enjoy those types of things even after a place, like the Bear Book for Glacier. You know,
oh,
that was such
God.
A fun story
looking,
to read.
Oh, I'm looking over on the shelves right now.
Grizzly or
The Night of the Grizzly.
The Night of the Grizzly.
I'm
yeah.
getting that title right.
That was so
well,
good.
Well, if I dig out The Wild Trees, will you read it? I think I know
yeah,
where it is.
I think I would. I would. I forgot all about it until it showed up in that list too. So, and then I put Overstory on my Libby list. On my phone for my free library
And then I
app.
Told you that I had already purchased
of
the
course,
paperback.
And I should have known that it was probably somewhere in the thousands of books that we have in our house.
So that was a really great list.
Yeah, it was. And her lists are always so great. If you're ever looking for anything to read, if you're ever stuck, just scroll through some of her recommendations.
In the show notes,
something.
We'll link to this list. Yeah. We'll link to the Rothies. We'll link to the Aldi Facebook group.
She Maybe. Also has a podcast, so the Modern Miss.
Do you know what it's called?
What should I read next?
What to read next?
What
or something
should
like
I
that?
Read next? Or I think I might be saying that wrong. I'm blanking on it. So,
well, look in the show notes. Yeah. We'll put a link there. All right, what's next?
All right, the last thing. What I'm writing. All right, so I recently wrote something that I just felt was like. Timely. So I wanted to share. I did post it in our Facebook group. After we returned from Lake Placid, I was trying to think about why it had been a more enjoyable camping experience for someone like me who falls on the spectrum of not still being in my house, locking all my doors and not having any contact with anybody, but is more cautious than maybe a lot of you are
traveling out there. Responsibly and yeah. thinking about traveling to the right places.
Yeah, yeah, I am. I'm most likely more cautious than some people are out there right now based on what I see. So I wrote a piece on what I felt like Lake Placid was getting right about safe and responsible travel. I think that this is not a matter of the world being open or closed right now. I think that we need to be open with new, serious safety procedures, right? Like, we have to live life. Coming from New Jersey, for people that were in shelter in place for months, I am telling you that in our neighborhood, the kids that played in my backyard 20 at a time for the last few years, every single day, none of our kids saw each other for 3 months. We were all completely locked down. That's not sustainable. It's not healthy. We all suffered. Our kids really suffered. So the question is, right, is how we can go about living life in a safe and responsible way going forward. And I had some thoughts about that after our trip to Lake Placid. So I did write an article about five things that I really appreciated that Lake Placid was doing.
And to be clear, we went downtown. We had lunch.
And I was incredibly nervous, right? Yeah. Like, so the boys and you, they're like, oh, let's go downtown. And we had not been. Look, I went into Target for the first time last week, a couple of days ago. Like, the first time since March.
I went in for the 50
and the boys
time.
Go, you went into Target. I was like, yeah, I just have avoided being in situations like that that I don't have to be in. And I'm going to even online.
It was a great article. So we'll link to that in the show notes. And Stephanie, I told you the other day, I emailed the owner of our RV dealership that we buy all our RVs from because my friend's looking for a motorhome. And he's like, oh, great to hear from you. I just read Stephanie's article about Lake Placid. It's, great article. Yeah. So it got picked up.
It got picked up. I know that like Woodall's posted it. Yeah. RV Business was sharing it. So it was kind of making the rounds because I think it was more like, hey, can we talk about like a balance, right? Everybody's being very like binary about this. Open, closed. Ignore, can we talk about a balance?
And that's where we have to live right now.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That's where we have
I'd like to live there. Yeah, for sure. So that was just some of my thoughts and we'll link to that. I just wanted to say like, the reason why I like this kind of episode and I was kind of pushing to say, hey, could I just do random thoughts is because we really try to respect our listeners' time and be like, what are we talking about? Hit the highlights, give helpful advice, make it entertaining and move on, right? On a lot of our episodes. So it's like the stock up list, help people stock up their RV. Winterizing, help people winterize their RV. And I think that there's some like, you know, room to just talk about things. You know, and not always have like the 5-point
bullet.
Well,
it feels like walking through a magazine a little bit.
Yeah, or like radio. Yeah, so I don't know. So that's
Our episodes that used to be an hour long were a little bit more, you know, 4 or 5 topics. And now we have kind of moved to doing the 20 to 30 minute episodes that are respecting people's drive times and commutes.
Right. And there's probably less commutes too now.
True. Maybe we should do 3-hour podcasts.
Oh, yeah, my podcast listening has gone down significantly since I have less time without a lot of people talking to me. I always joke, like, if I'm doing a chore and I hit play on a podcast, like, someone will be talking to me and in my face in, like, 3 seconds flat.
Well, I think it's also fun to just talk about things that are on your mind at the moment, as opposed to some topic maybe you put on a list, you know, a couple months ago.
All right. That's it. That's all I got. Those are the things that I'm annoyed about, thinking about, wearing, writing, reading.
Oh, thank you. And we look forward to your August episode.
Oh, you're going to put that on the calendar?
Putting it on the
calendar. Now the pressure. I have to come up with some opinions.
Are you excited about the episode I'm going to do next week, Yeti versus Arctic? Because it's
Do you want me to answer that honestly?
No.
No, I don't care.
Oh, but the thing is, I posted a picture of my Yeti coffee mug in our Facebook group and like 300 people commented.
That's because everybody cares. Look,
summer,
I don't have to care.
It's time for cold drinks. It's time for cold drinks in insulated cups. And I'm fascinated by the battle between these two companies, between Yeti and Arctic. I did some research on each of them. And
can you
both
find like some of
companies.
The funniest social media comments and stuff about it?
Well, I'm in the Yeti Facebook group
now.
Oh
my gosh.
Which is hilarious.
I can't even imagine.
Yeti released a $50 bottle opener the other day called The Brick. And it apparently sold out in hours. And everyone in this group was flipping out to get The Brick.
A bottle opener for $50.
$49.99.
And I'm sitting here like, oh, my Rothies are $125, but they're really good quality.
It's a Veblen good. And we're going to talk about that on the podcast next week.
All right, everybody. See you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.